The Lord's my light and saving health. We walk in the light of God, as the words of the introit indicate. So let us worship God and sing to his praise and glory. The hymn number 22, The Lord's my light and saving health. Shall we join together in prayers? Let us pray. Eternal God, we gather ourselves to your presence on this day. Surround us in the love of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We come to wait upon you, to be with you and in your presence, living in Christ's promise that he is among us and with us and will stay with us as we wait on you. We come and ask that you would bless us with the breath of your Spirit. And as we know that blessing, we ask too that you would draw us into that forgiving love which Christ gives. In our prayers, we offer you the things that we have done which we shouldn't have, words which we have spoken which should never have crossed our lips, thoughts which diminish us as your people. Teach us, as you forgive us, to walk in your light, drawn along by your presence and filled with the fullness of faith in Christ, hope in his life and example, and the love which you express when you gave us your Son. We thank you that you draw us here together. Help us to discover your truth together. Help us to support and sustain one another and all who worship in our land today. We pray that the light of all that you are would ripple from this place into our neighbourhood and parish and communities, that we may keep alive the vision of Christ's Church, speaking your word of change and renewal as we look to the future, burning with your love and light. We praise you and honour you and gather our prayers in the words which Jesus himself taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hello, all you young folk. I'm John. How are all of you? Good day today, is it? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Hello, all you old folk. I'm John. Good day, is it? It's always a good day when we gather to worship God together. And it's a very special day that I can come and tell you about something. I'm just going to kneel here, that seems quite appropriate. Tells you about something that happened to me about 9 years ago. And there was a clue in the introit today when the choir sang for the introit, "We are marching in the light of God." I would like you to imagine that you're far away. I would like you to imagine, if you can, that you're in a country in Africa called Zimbabwe. Any of you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Good. Great. How did you hear of it?
The British Empire landmass was bigger than Africa. Africa was one country bigger than the Soviet Union.
Well, good for you. Well, Zimbabwe's a part of that. Thank you. And the capital of Zimbabwe is Harare.
I'm not good at Africa.
I think you're very good at Africa, actually. Zimbabwe. We were there. We were in a township. And in the morning, I'd conducted worship in Bulawayo, in St. Andrew's Church. The congregation was largely white, with some black people. And then after that, I went to the township, and the church was bigger than this, I would say. And it was stacked with about 1,500 people, all black. Myself, my wife Annette, and our travelling companion were the only white faces in the building. So it's exactly the same as this, more or less, except we were a different colour. I want to tell you about this song. You have never, ever heard singing or seen an African choir performing the way they did. And amazingly, they got up and danced in the aisle. Now, anybody? Do you want to dance in the aisle? Good, come on, we'll have a wee dance. Could I ask the organist to play a wee bit of Walking in the Light of God? You better go the other way or I'll get dizzy. There you are. Well done, you. Well done, you. So, we can add to the words at the beginning of him. We are dancing in the light of God. But when I was at the church, and after I was at the door, I was shaking hands, and asked my wife Annette to come and dance with me, just like I'm going to do just now. And I got rejected. But I have a video of Annette surrounded by dancing, singing Africans. A fantastic experience. When we asked to have this hymn that we're about to sing, "We Are Marching in the Light of God," it's a South African hymn, comes from that part of the country, South African hymn, and they said, "We don't have a hymn called We Are Marching in the Light of God." They didn't know it. If you look at the music edition of the hymn book, it says quite clearly where the hymn came from and the language. We talked a little bit and I said, "Come on, you must know it." And I'm just about to show you how wonderful my voice is. I said, "You must know it." The tune goes, "We are marching in the light of God." "Oh," they said. "No, no, no." That was about my singing. "No, no, no. We don't sing marching. We sing walking. We are walking in the light of God." Marching and walking Completely different. So as we sing this hymn today, I would like you to think about what it means to be with Christ, with God. Are we marching? Are we walking? Are we dancing? Are we living? Are we moving? And I've asked the organist if, after we've sung the three verses, we could go back and substitute for the first verse, walking. We are walking in the light of God. And for all of us, for the young folk here and the older folk, I think at this particular time in the life of the congregation, to keep walking in the light of God will be enormously supportive to each other and to your minister and his family. So let's sing, "We are marching in the light of God," and you had a pretty good idea of how it should sound before the service. Our first scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, from verse 17 to chapter 4, 1, and it's on page 1180 of the Pew Bible. Paul writes, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand, firm in the Lord. Dear friends." And in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9, at verse 28, which is on page 1040, this is the Transfiguration. "Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, 'Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He didn't know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, 'This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at the time what they had seen." Thanks be to God. May God follow with his blessing the reading of his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory. Amen. Shall we join together again in praise number 162, "The God of Abraham Praise"? word of prayer. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Teach us your truth. In Christ's name. Amen. I'm very well aware that the moderator of the Presbytery of Dumbarton is a member of this congregation, and also I know that Grace is here today because we chatted briefly at the door. I would like you to keep in mind to gather our thoughts together today. Some verses from John chapter 1, very familiar verses. Grace used them as she constituted the presbytery at the beginning of the month. And I would like you to think, in the context of today and our walking in the light, the words on which Grace based her thought. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot defeat it. That, together with the scripture readings for this particular Sunday, are superb as they welcome me as a first to the pulpit here in St. Paul's, as I deputise today for your minister. Like many of my colleagues in ministry, we all know someone, or we know someone who knows someone. And because of that, I've known Fergus for most of my ministry. But our paths didn't really cross until I became a member of the Presbytery of Dumbarton. And then I got to know him better, and then well, as we contributed to the work of the Presbytery and its ups and downs in our respective ways. Since I became clerk with Fergus as business convener, both of us know each other better, and I hope he would agree we work together well. As I said at the beginning, I can't say it's a pleasure, but it is a privilege to be here in a pulpit which was my friend's for 30 years, and I hope will continue for another good number of years yet. With that introduction, the scriptures today somehow epitomise Fergus Buchanan's ministry. You cannot read them without recognising the building blocks of faith, and Fergus's prayers as he constitutes the business committee, for example, time and time again refer to the idea that we are all involved in the transforming love of Christ. That's his vision, that we live well and better in the life and light of Christ, whether we are worshipping God on a Sunday or serving God through the presbytery. The transforming life and light of Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I was given a gift that was a book called The Ringnet Fisherman. It's the history of the rise and fall of the Clyde herring fishery. It tells the story of tough men in a tough industry. I was very attracted to the book, and as I flicked through it on a Saturday morning, I said to Annette, I could lie here all day and read it. And she said, well, why don't you? I couldn't, of course, spend all day reading it. But what tuned me into the book is I remember being on the fishing boats in Loch Fyne in the days of my youth. I remember two or three occasions when we fished all night. On one of them, we caught nothing. On another occasion, when I boarded the boat, the skipper said to me, we're going down the Kerry shore, just aim for Loch Ranza. Well, that's the first time I'd ever heard of Loch Ranza. So he pointed me in the direction of Arran and then left, and I was in charge. But the story of the fishing goes beyond youthful memories. There's net cleaning. There's the sheer hard graft of nights at sea. of using skills and insights to know where the herring are and how to find them. And then, of course, as the ringnet fishery developed and evolved, the Clyde fishery began to disappear. But that experience with fishermen certainly is very useful when we think about Jesus and the call to the disciples who were fishermen. Andrew and Peter, James and John. These were tough men, used to eking an existence in a tough climate and erratic weather. One day on the beach, Jesus saw them and said, "Come on, follow me, we're going to do something different." You know that story. I doubt that these men, who must have had well above average upper body strength, would have been wildly enthusiastic on the day that Jesus said, "Come on, we're going up a mountain." But they followed. But can you imagine how they must have felt? I've got this picture of them following Jesus, legs aching, wondering what was going to happen. Theirs were certainly not the legs of a hill shepherd. I have a guess that, like a child, they probably protested every step of the upward way. Are we nearly at the top yet? That picture was brought to a kind of reality when we visited the Holy Land a couple of years ago. A bus took us up the hill, thank goodness. But what added to the picture was the mountains not bare like our bends and so on. The mountain was covered in thick, scrubby bushes, a bit like the shrubs we call whins, I suppose. This would not have been an easy journey. But despite the protests, they up and up they went until Jesus stopped to pray. That the disciples must have been exhausted is told in the story, but it's there in just a few words, and we miss it. We know the story so well, don't we? Jesus was transfigured. Some inspirational divine light turned him from the human being he was into something as bright as a flash of lightning, as the scripture says. Or, as the authorised version would say, bleached as no fuller could bleach it. And Jesus was engaged in a conversation with two of the greats of his faith, Moses and Elijah. We know nothing of that conversation in that blinding white light, because the disciples had fallen asleep. What brought them to being awake? Was it the brightness of the light? Was it the low murmuring voice of conversation that they heard? Or was it something else? But when they came to, rubbing their eyes, bleary, sleep still in them, they saw something of Jesus' glory, and they saw the two men there. Peter, the one who could never keep his mouth shut. "This is a brilliant moment," he babbled. "Let's build these memorials." And the vision began to fade. But in spite of his babbling, a radiant light cloud enveloped them. No wonder they were scared. These were men who knew the sea. They didn't know the mountaintops. And as they found themselves buried in the cloud, they heard a voice, a deep awareness of God. "This is my son," Listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. Those words ring down through 2 millennia of Christianity. And perhaps on this Sunday in Lent, we need to hear again, this is my son. Listen. And as the voice died away, Jesus was there alone. By now, they were speechless. I cannot help but make the connection with Paul in that section of his letter that we read together from the book, the letter of Philippians. Stay with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. He dismisses those who have not got the message, the folk that are no use. It's the second half of that reading which really does inspire, encourage, and support. Because there we begin to understand what this transfigurating moment was for the disciples. We belong here, but we are citizens of heaven. We are waiting the arrival of the Saviour, the Master Christ Jesus, who will transform us. This is powerful stuff. It's time, perhaps, for us to stop rubbing the sleep from our eyes, but to grasp the new and renewing vision. What it means to be the light of Christ in the 21st century world in which we live, with all its beauty and its glory, with all its tragedy and disaster, with all its love and with its hate. In the awareness of God, there was a life-changing moment for Jesus, because that was the mark of divine approval that his journey to Jerusalem would surely take place. And just as surely, it was going to end in the tragedy of the cross before the wonder of the resurrection. We're all in a journey. Each of us has our own as individuals, all of us together as members of Christ's church. We all walk in the light of God. And never underestimate that light. Even in the darker moments, even when everything seems dark around. I began with a memory of the fishing industry in the Clyde. Let me begin to finish with another memory. This is one that is born from the year I spent in Lochaber as an interim minister. The manse at Maleg overlooked the Sound of Sleat. There were views to Rum and Egg and Skye. Far to the southwest, I could see Ardnamurchan Light shining brightly with its regular clockwork flash. I saw it in all weathers, stunningly beautiful, appallingly awful. I saw it in the day and I saw it at night. One of the abiding memories, which is germane to our thoughts today, is that there was hardly ever a night, no matter what the weather was, that I didn't see the fishing lights in the darkness. The light truly shined in the darkness. The light was truly there. There was nothing else to be seen in the surrounding darkness but the light. Just as when the disciples became enveloped in that cloud, they saw it as light, transforming light. Today, as a journey begins for all of you and for your minister and Gabrielle and the family, please walk in the light. Or as Paul put it, my dear, dear friends, don't waver. Walk with God. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot defeat it. Shall we pray? Bless your word to us, we pray, that we may be constantly in your light and love, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we sing our next hymn, I would like to pause. I would like to pause to reflect, to use a little bit of time to remember Fergus and the family in prayers. I had a prayer in mind, but I'm not going to use it today. Because in the vestry, Ken led the prayers before the service, I asked Ken if I could have a copy of the prayer he used. These are Ken's words. They're for us all, I believe. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray especially today for our minister Fergus and his wife Gabrielle and their family. As Fergus goes through this time of treatment, we would ask you to be with him and Gabrielle as they face the future with uncertainty and anxiety. Lord, bring them assurance that you are with them both, bringing them a sense of your peace and your blessing in the difficult days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, Amen. Immortal, invisible God, only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, the hymn 132. Let us pray. We bring you these gifts, loving God, our Father. We offer them as a token of our willingness to be used in the life, work, and mission of your Son's Church. Take them and each of us, and use us where you will and when you will, that we may live our calling to walk in the light of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Gathering here today, we remember with gratitude all that you have given us in the beauty of the earth, remembering your gifts of beauty. We ask that your Spirit would breathe into us, that our prayers would be born from your Holy Spirit. For we know that our world, which you created perfectly, is now imperfect. And so we pray for it, asking that you would fulfill through us your purposes of love and truth. We think of our planet. We remember our troubled times. Loving God, we are stewards of your creation. Help us to treat it with respect. Enable us to honour you in striving to address the issues of climate change. Loving God, we remember the generations which come after us and pray that what we do today will bless them tomorrow. Today we cannot but remember those caught up in the shocking tragedy in Christchurch. We offer to you our lack of understanding. We cannot imagine how a fellow human being could do what he did. We pray for the families so ruthlessly destroyed. God, healing God, may your touch be on those who are injured as they recover, and your peace be with those who mourn and grieve. We remember too Zimbabwe and Mozambique in the flooding crisis which has hit the nations. We thank you for what they teach us about our faith, and we ask that you will be a companion with them. We worship in the name of the Prince of Peace, and we ask that his peace would be in every place, that war would be no more, violence lost in history. And until then, teach us to be peacemakers wherever we are. God of all grace, we remember those in our congregation here who are going through difficult times, perhaps grieving, perhaps remembering an anniversary, those who are waiting for medical tests or recovering from surgery. We remember families where there's joy, the arrival of a baby, a wedding, success. You know each one. And so we gather our prayers in a silence that we may be with you as we offer that which is on our hearts. We thank you that you have spoken to us in the silence as we have spoken to you. As we draw our worship to a close today, may we go with faith and hope and love renewed, strengthened to walk in the light of the Lord, in whose name we offer our prayers. Amen. Our concluding praise is hymn number 497, Almighty Father of all things that be. Now go and walk in the light of the Lord. May you know peace and love, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of you and everyone you love, today and always.